Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Tuesday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres and Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. Mike, I just can't escape off-season types of shows on Locked On Sabres. What's it like to have a team that you could cover right now?
Because you guys aren't playing because it's still COVID. Of course. Yeah, no, that's a real big issue around the league, isn't it? I think it's affected all three of the American divisions now. Canadian division, knock on wood, we haven't had to deal with any COVID outbreaks yet. Hopefully we do not either. But yeah, that's gotta suck. You finally get into the groove of things. You know, the team sort of starts to pick things up a little bit. Yep. And then next thing you know, there's a COVID outbreak and you're shutting her down for a week.
Yeah, like they're hanging around enough. It's 10 games in. You would expect them to at least be, you know, not out of it. And they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot. But right, like it's all right. Let's head back into what would we talk about in August? Because it's been 5 episodes since the game and you can only get mad about the NHL's COVID protocols so much. So many times in a row. What's your thought on that, by the way, real quick? We got a lot of other stuff to get to on today's show. I want to bring up John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets, what's going on in the Central Division right there with CBJ, another star player maybe being frustrated with his role, probably more so the coach being more frustrated with the player. So there's stuff to talk about in Columbus. The North Division is interesting to start the season. Mike's got a thought on them. And then I've got a Stanley Cup odds thing, situation that I want to bring up later. But what's your thought on the outbreaks in the league? And really the story that really is from here in Buffalo that they asked the league about Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac of New Jersey and why they were put on the COVID protocols list and why they were playing that game against the Devils last Sunday. And it was basically radio silence from the NHL.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good at all. And I don't blame Buffalo at all for being upset with how things kind of ended up transpiring. And then, you know, one COVID test led to another. And now there's what, like 8 or 9 Sabres, nine guys on the COVID list, including Chad Kroeger, the head coach, who, you know, isn't a young gentleman. So it is a little bit scary. Obviously, it wasn't handled well at all. And I think, you know, the problem is it's so difficult the way that, you know, the way that the U.S. has handled this whole thing and how it's like almost a free for all, it seems like, in a lot of these states. So it's so difficult when there is no bubble and you're going from place to place and it's not completely locked in. Like when we had the bubble up in Toronto and Edmonton for the playoffs, you know, like your families weren't even allowed to leave. Like that was it. You all stayed in this bubble. No one could go to the grocery store. No one could go see Nana. No one could do nothing. And now that's not so much the case. There is outside interaction and there is that risk that somebody could contract COVID and bring it home to the players who then are bringing this into the locker rooms. I'm not saying that a bubble is necessary, but it certainly is proving that not being in a bubble isn't ideal. Yeah. However, we've seen the NFL get through a full season. We saw the MLB get through a full season. There's been challenges in both the NHL and the NBA, but I still believe that eventually they'll get through it. Do I think it's going to be a full 56-game season? Not exactly. I don't think so. At some point, I think they're going to start canceling games, and it's going to end up being done by points percentage. But, hey, man, there's nothing that you can do. Absolutely nothing that we can do when it comes to the coronavirus.
Right. Maybe they could extend the season past that, but you know they probably don't want to do that because of the run-in then with the Olympics.
Yeah, which they can't do. They right. would sooner rather just cancel the last, like cancel a couple of games that you didn't have to make up and then just go based on points percentage for the playoff.
You better hope that teams don't need those games to make a push for the playoffs because you'll have some upset owners maybe league-wide. But right, like you might get to a point where that's your only option. So we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. I know there's news actually while we're recording that Flyers and Capitals tonight this being Tuesday night, is being postponed due to COVID reasons as well. No. So it's still within the East Division, but right, like that is, I think we're seeing evidence of cross-team contamination. I know the NHL is yet to say that that exists. I don't know how you could say it doesn't exist when the Devils played the Sabres and then, oh, just because of coincidence, 9 Sabres go on the list, you know, within the next 5 days. It's not because they just played the Devils or anything. And then you've seen like the West Division, or not the West Division, it was the Central Division, had a little COVID outbreak at the beginning with Dallas and Carolina, and that caused a couple of different teams to have to shut down. But it was all contained within that division because they're the only teams meeting each other. And then the East Division, we're seeing the same thing. Sabres, Devils, now the Capitals and Flyers. We haven't seen it go into the North because there haven't been anything. And we haven't seen it in the West because they're really, other than Colorado. Actually, the West has had some.
Well,
never mind.
Minnesota, right, and Colorado, who played each other, right, are now dealing with some problems.
That's right. So that would be another example of, like, it's hard to tell me that there's no evidence of cross-team contamination. There doesn't have to be. But, like, come on. This is a body contact sport, and that's played indoors. Of all the major sports, it might be the hardest to contain the spread. So I'm not buying that, what the NHL has been trying to put out there a little bit. All right, let's talk about the North Division, because it's Toronto and Montreal at the top. I think I said this with you last week. Like, I think that race is going to come down to just those two. And Mike, does it seem like the race has kind of already been narrowed down to those two? Or do we think that we should still wait a little bit to declare Winnipeg, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Calgary is out of it?
Well, I think it may be a little bit too early to really declare them out of it. But to this point, Toronto, Montreal do stand out among the rest as the kind of cream of the crop, I would say. Winnipeg, it's going to be interesting. Pierre-Luc Dubois still yet to make his appearance after being traded for a couple weeks back. Like Patrick Laine, we're going to talk about him in a minute as well. But he's, what, 4 games into his tenure with the Columbus Blue Jackets, already making some waves with John Tortorella, I might add.
Yep.
But he's 4 games into his career with the Jackets, and Pierre-Luc Dubois has yet to skate a game in a game. So that goes to show one other thing, too. It's going to be so difficult to make trades within this North Division when it comes to the trade deadline. Like, if you got to wait 2 weeks, and especially if somebody tries to make a hockey deal, you got to wait 2 weeks to get that guy into the lineup. It's going to be super, super tough to do, just as an aside, unless you're trading within the division and you can kind of, you know, do it within where you only have to do 7 days. But still, it's going to be tough.
No, you're right, because I've been thinking about this for the deadline, because the deadline is when you get rental players.
That's what I mean.
And if I'm a team in the East Division, like if I'm the Penguins right now and I'm just outside of a playoff spot, but I'm right there and I could use some goal scoring depth or some defensive depth to help me push for the playoffs. Well, I don't know if I'm calling those North team divisions at all, because I don't know when that guy is getting on the ice. Like, or at least there could be some hiccups that get in the way. And same thing going the other way, maybe even more importantly.
I think it's more an issue with the Canadian teams bringing the guys over the border than it is vice versa. Because if you look at Patrick Laine, right, like he, 2 days of quarantine once he got back over the border, and then he was ready skating and ready to go on the ice. So that wasn't a very long wait time to get him going with the Blue Jackets. Whereas Pierre-Luc Dubois, because of the stricter Canadian protocols, he had to wait 14 days in a hotel room before he could even practice with the team. So he had a nice practice yesterday, and they weren't playing yesterday, but it was kind of his first day that he was able to come out and play with the team. And now he'll get into his first game action tonight.
Right. Okay. Do you think though that, like, tier wise, this division's becoming pretty clear of what the season's going to be like?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been tiered up early on. Again, things could change. I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois could, and that's before I went off on my tangent about the trade deadline. Pierre-Luc Dubois was the point that I was trying to make before, where I think Winnipeg, with the addition of him and Connor Hellebuyck playing better as of late, I believe that they're a team that probably still can compete and contend within this North Division with Toronto and Montreal. They're not too far out of it. But right now, I would say if I'm tiering it, I think Toronto and Montreal are the top two teams in this division, neck and neck. They're the first tier. And then probably I would go with Winnipeg and Calgary, pretty close, neck and neck in the second tier. Edmonton and Vancouver as that fifth, sixth team on the outside looking in. And then Ottawa as the seventh team. They've been absolutely atrocious this year, which is unfortunate because I think a lot of people expected this team to be a little bit better than they are, and to not that they were going to really compete for a playoff spot or anything like that.
Right.
At least be competitive and be in games and show some fight, but they're getting romped like 8-2, 7-1, 6-1, 5-1. Like, it's just not looking good. They're what, 13 games into the season, and they have a goal differential of minus 26. So they're losing by an average of 2 goals every single game. It's not looking good. Funny enough, though, their 2 lone wins on the season are against Toronto and Montreal.
That's pretty funny. Remember beginning of the year, like 3 games in, we're like, oh, look at little ragtag Ottawa here. They might be able to hang around for a bit. And nope, they're just getting blasted night in and night out.
They started the season off with a win against Toronto, 5-3 win in their season opener, and then they lost in game 2. But then they were at least respectable in keeping games close the first couple of games, and then things kind of went off the rails a little bit. They couldn't get a save from Matt Murray. That guy just went ice cold. Hogberg, kind of the same thing, their backup goaltender, and they just weren't getting any goaltending, and it really derailed them early on the season. Murray, you know, has rebounded the last couple of games, stole one in that win against Montreal, and has played pretty well since, I would say. So as long as I think they can get the saves and just play a little bit better out in front of him, they can be more like the team we expected and put up a fight in some of these games. You know, last night they were kind of in it till the end against Edmonton, which is nice to see. So hopefully it was just a bad Western road trip, a bad stretch, and the Sens aren't going to, you know, only win single digits games this year, which a lot of people said might be the case. And could you imagine only winning like 8 or 9 games an entire season?
It would be incredible. It would be incredible because at least it was like, oh, they got some young talent that might be able to help them. Maybe Stutzel shows up and does something. It's like, no, they just don't have the depth at all. So
that kid's for real, by the way. That kid is for real.
Like, he is for real, for sure.
He's outstanding. Watching him play a couple of games, the mind that he has, you know, he's got great hockey
IQ. He gives them something they could build on.
Well, the thing is, too, is he's hungry, right? Like, he goes around hitting people, blocking shots. He just does a little bit of everything. He's a fantastic player.
Yeah. When we come back, we talked about Winnipeg a bunch there and Pierre-Luc Dubois. We don't normally talk about the Central Division, but we got to get to what Columbus is doing. And then I've got a Stanley Cup odds situation that I need to run by you. So we'll do that when we return here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano.
Are we ready for some football? The big game is coming up. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline's where you want to be. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL Podcast. Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. This week, Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball discuss the opportunities and challenges that come with being a Black woman in sports. Subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, can I bring up CBJ here? Because I wanted to slightly steer the conversation earlier in the season when Pierre-Luc Dubois was doing his nonsense on the ice that got him benched. I wanted to kind of just throw in like, hey, don't forget about Tortorella and all of this, because there have been star players that have walked in and out the door in Columbus for a few years now. And like they need to prove that they can hang on to elite talent when they have it. And I'm not sure Patrick Laine is necessarily an elite player. He's an elite goal scorer. But here's their most offensive player, four games in, scored three goals, by the way, in his first couple of games. And in the second period of last night's game, he gets benched. And then today I'm reading like the fourth period had, like, don't just assume that the future is not in question with Laine, who is a restricted free agent at the end of the year. And if he could, it doesn't have to be clean. It could get ugly again with another situation in Columbus. So I don't know. How do we feel about it this go round? Like, I'm not sure Laine did anything like Dubois, of course, where he just was dogging it. He was bad in the defensive zone, watching some of the clips from last night. But still, I mean, it just seems like it's never ending with Tortorella in Columbus.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the clips. You know, obviously the Pierre-Luc Dubois, the shift was magnified a lot before the trade went down. I didn't quite see any clips of like a long shift where Laine was dogging it, but I would assume that was what was happening. You know, post game, John Tortorella said that he was going to keep it in house and keep it within them, but. Yeah, it's tough, man. You traded away your star player, a guy who is like captain like material in Pierre-Luc Dubois. He wanted out, that, you know, granted, but still, for a guy like Patrick Laine, and to start off on such a sour note, just four games in, and sit the guy for basically half the game is not a good look for Tortorella. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. Tortorella gets a bad rep, but there are a lot of people who like him as a coach. They think they make him a better hockey person, and make him a better hockey player if they decide to kind of buy into what he's selling. So I think he's just trying to kind of set the tone early with Laine and maybe show him like, hey, look, if we play our style of game, we can win. And that's what they did and ended up doing last night, right? He got benched and they went on to win the game. And so I'm not going to sound the alarm just yet. But if we do have another issue or two over the rest of the season, then maybe I might start getting a little worried that it's just not going to work. And don't get me wrong. Everybody kind of looked at that, you know, marriage and said that's got divorce written all over it before it even started. Right. Like everyone kind of was like, yeah, the annulment, get that up and running. Let's get the divorce papers already on tap for that. Cause you know, Patrick Laine isn't the most, you know, happy go lucky defensive forward. We all know that, and that's kind of the style of game that Torts likes to bring out of his guys. So, you know, unless Patrick Laine can buy in, and I think they said all the right things when they did that press conference. You know, Tortorella said that he was asking for video and film of his teammates so that, you know, once he got there, he would be ready to go and be able to contribute and kind of know a little bit of the lay of the land of what goes down with Torts' system. So it seems like they got off on a good start, and maybe this is just a slight hiccup just to kind of prove to Line A, like, hey, I do run things here, you know, on a quite a tight ship. So, you know, ship up, or once again, you'll be shipped out.
Right. That's kind of how I read it, too. And we'll see. Maybe they're able to coexist. Like, I saw Cam Atkinson defending it last night. They're like, hey, if you're not going to give 100% in both ends of the ice, like, this, he's going to bench you. And you've got to understand that. So it definitely takes the right type of player to buy into that. I'm not sure Line A in the long run will end up being that. But, you know, it's a marriage that I think Columbus should at least have to make work for the rest of this season. They're in a playoffs, but they're second right now in the Central. Now, that is with Florida and Carolina playing way fewer games to start the year. But they're off to a pretty darn good start, and like, they should be a playoff team if they keep going along this pace. So you're going to want a Patrick Laine scoring 30, 40 goals, I mean, on a 56-game pace to be able to help you get there. Now, maybe the best player in the trade so far, now part of this is because Dubois hasn't played, Jack Roslovich has 7 points in 7 games. And I was banging the drum, I know, here in Buffalo, for them to, the Sabres, to acquire him for years, playing 11, 12 minutes a night, near the top of the league in points per 60 minutes of ice time, but being buried on Winnipeg's depth chart. And it's like, oh, coincidence. He's playing 21 minutes for the Blue Jackets, and he's got a point a game, and he scored maybe the goal of the season so far. We think he did that on purpose, by the way, right? Like, he knew he was going to get that to his skate and then kick it up.
That was an unreal goal last night. Highlight of the night material for sure. I'm happy for Jack Roslovic. You know, he's someone who definitely just got caught in a bad situation, was bogged down on the depth chart. Like, you know, I think he could have been given a little bit longer of a run in Winnipeg for whatever reason. They just didn't quite feel like he was ready for top six roles. They felt that it was necessary to go out and get Paul Stastny this summer to fill in that role. And I don't think that sit well with Roslovic at all. Obviously, it didn't, because after that had happened and, you know, he knew that he wasn't going to be playing in the top six, he did not sign his RFA tender and he did not report to camp and forced his way out of the city. And now he's playing for Columbus and playing really well. Like you said, like, the guy's got 7 points since going over there. So, good on Jack Roslovic. I think he's a player who certainly is taking an opportunity and running with it.
Definitely. And it was the perfect situation for him, because with Dubois out, I mean, he had it like lined up for him to be their top center. And he's been playing as their number one center for the last 5 games, at least of the 7 that he's been there, and he's been running with it. So it was a perfect spot in that there was an opening. There were 2 openings maybe in the top 6. And so far, I know he was playing with Line A and Atkinson. Last night, Domi got moved up in Line A's spot, but still, like, even Max Domi and Cam Atkinson playing 20 minutes a night is a great improvement over where he was with Winnipeg personally. Okay, one more thing before we get out of here. I'm doing, we got this free play at Bet Online with our new partnership. All the Locked On hosts got a little free play thrown their way for a bet they want to make on our new, on the website, betonline.ag. And I'm trying to lock down, I want to do a futures bet, because that's, I don't like betting on individual games. I like to have a bet and like ride with it. That gives me something to root for months sometimes. And, you know, that way you're not making 1,000 bets a year and you're still, you know, you got something to root for the whole way. So I want your opinion on something. I'm looking at Stanley Cup odds. I want to bet on a team, but I also don't want like a massive favorite. So like, I'm looking at teams outside of plus 1000, like longer shots than that. So basically I'm asking you, what's your favorite long shot Stanley Cup bet right now? And long shot, I will just qualify as outside of the top 5 teams, which would be Tampa Bay, Colorado, Vegas, Toronto, and Boston. All of those teams are plus 1000 or better. If I made you pick one bet below that to win the Stanley Cup, You got a team in mind that you would shoot for here?
I'll give
you a second to think.
Sure.
Dallas way down at plus 2200 caught my eye. They were just in the finals. Yeah. They are 6th in the Central, but they've only played 9 games. By points percentage, they've actually had a pretty good start to the year at 66% of their points. I don't love their team, but their odds are pretty good at plus 2200, the same as Pittsburgh's.
I don't think their play is sustainable. Like, Joe Pavelski's playing a level of hockey he's never played before in his life. Yeah, so I don't know if he's going to be keep that up. Like, Alex Radulov's averaging a point per game. He's, what, 37 years old? I don't believe he'll be able to keep that up. A team that I actually kind of like, maybe as a to take a flyer on, is the Philadelphia Flyers. I believe, you know, they haven't played as well the last couple of weeks, but I think that's just because Sean Couturier's been out of the lineup. Sean Couturier is now back with the team, and I think that he brings a dynamic to this team like no other on both ends of the ice. Like, this is a Selke candidate, a guy who could score you 30 goals a year, and putting him back in the lineup just makes that team kind of more whole. It gives them a perfect 1-2 punch. It gives them a force on the power play, on the penalty kill, you know, a guy who plays 200 feet. It just makes the entire team better. He makes his line mates better, his teammates better. You know, if Carter Hart gets healthy and goes on a run, I think that the Flyers could definitely stand a chance here.
I like Philly as a pick there, because I don't like the Dallas pick. I don't like rooting for Dallas. There's something about it's not even just because they beat the Sabres in 99. Like, that's not even really in my process here. It's just like I'm never interested, I feel like, in Dallas. So I don't know. And they're old. Like, that's not really what I go for. Philly's a good pick here. Carter Hart's picked up his game a little bit as of late. In fact, Brian Elliott's been incredible to start the year. I think I saw a minimum 5 games played. He's like 1 or 2 in the NHL in save percentage. Of course, it's a very limited sample size, but he's playing great within 5 games played so far. So I do like Philly. That's a good pick. Joel Farabee just came out of nowhere, and he's a point of game player.
Yeah, he's playing fantastic. JVR has got he's like 4th in scoring with 18 points in like 12 games this year. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, that was strange.
Turning back the clock and looking like you know, his young self again, I guess.
He hasn't looked like that since power play, but he hasn't looked like that. See, he had that 1 year in Toronto where he was he had a couple years in Toronto.
He had a few years in Toronto. Like, he was a really good player. Like, you could bank on him for 25 to 30 goals as long as he was healthy.
Right.
Easy peasy, and looks like he's on his way to doing that again. One other team that's a little bit down here, I would say, out of the Canadian division, the Winnipeg Jets at plus 2500, maybe a little sprinkle on them. I think that Paul Maurice has really got this team cooking. They're getting contributions from the entire lineup, and this is without Pierre-Luc Dubois. You add in this Pierre-Luc Dubois character, I saw firsthand how disruptive he can be to an opposing team. This kid's going to be unbelievable in Winnipeg. You know, you pair that up with a 1-2 punch of Mark Scheifele and Pierre-Luc Dubois, along with the wingers that they have, like Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler, Nick Ehlers. Andrew Kopp is having a great start to the season. Adam Lowry as well as a third center. So there's a lot of players on that team, and they've got depth. And with Josh Morrissey, Neil Pionk on the blue line playing some solid hockey, and then, of course, you got your Vezina-caliber goaltender and Connor Hellebuck. I think the Winnipeg Jets are our team. They could surprise within the Canadian division playoffs and just kind of come out of it. Because, goaltending is huge, right? And when it comes to the playoffs, you have a guy like Hellebuck just go on a heater. He can roll right through and bring you to the promised land.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't even think I realized off the top of my head like how deep they really are. I just pulled up their line combinations as Dubois is actually making his debut tonight, Tuesday night, for Winnipeg. And he's starting his career with the Jets, paired with Kyle Connor, a 30-goal scorer on the third line. Like, that's how deep they are. So eventually, maybe that becomes their second line, or maybe they just have them listed wrong here. But, like,
yeah,
they've got three different lines with, who's like, that, great combos.
Who's the other winger on that line?
Trevor Lewis.
That's a weird line.
It looks like they have weird lines. It looks like they're kind of just splitting it up. They're rolling with like a great duo, and then they're just throwing a random third guy. So like they have Scheifele and Ehlers, but then it's Andrew Kopp. They have Stastny and Wheeler, and then it's Christian Vesalainen, and then Lowry and Perreault on the fourth line, Connor and Dubois with Trevor Lewis. So maybe they change that up and they get to go for a loaded top six at some point.
I can't believe the slander you just threw towards point per game man, Andrew Kopp.
He's at a point per game right now?
Dude, that guy's playing amazing hockey right now. Heck yeah.
That's not something I had. Listen, he's been a 20-point player for his career, so that actually is surprising to me. But you're right, he's at 10 points in 11 games. So you're right. That was disrespectful to Andrew Kopp, who's been darn good this season.
Disrespect.
All right, I like those. I'm gonna have one by next week, so I'll let you know what I do when we come back to you on the Locked On NHL podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. Check us out on Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports and at Mickey_Canuck. We will talk to you next Tuesday on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano.